Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Obey the magistrates. Matter of quick review before we continue in the second part of this message this evening. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We know that there were a number of churches in Crete that Titus was given the task to set in order, and it was a daunting task given the nature of the Cretans. As professing believers, the Cretans, or the Cretans, were no longer to be rebellious towards authority for which they were known for, but they were to subject themselves, to obey the principalities and powers. They were to obey the Roman emperors and the supreme civil powers. They were to obey the deputies of the emperors, the proconsuls, and all those that are in authority. That would include, of course, any soldiers of any kind. Anyone that was enforcing Roman law was to be obeyed. They were also to obey magistrates, meaning they were to obey the rulers in every area. And not only that, but they were to be prepared to do something that they would have never considered doing at all prior to their conversion, and that is to do good works, in particular towards those aforementioned leaders. Then I brought to mind the fact, and it is a fact, that nowhere in the Bible is this false doctrine of civil disobedience taught to the believer. Again, I want to re-emphasize that fact over and over and over in this series of messages. That's not called civil disobedience. That's called anarchy. I don't believe in civil disobedience to the believer, and nor does the Bible teach it. And frankly speaking, I'm surprised at those who should know better who teach this rubbish. It's not anywhere taught. In fact, it's kind of interesting where they teach this false doctrine of civil disobedience. They rarely, if ever, teach civil responsibility, which is the overwhelming message of the Bible to the believer in any society. The Bible is crystal clear that believers are to be the most model citizens in any society, and that includes a society that's not the way you like it. Okay, and that's something else we have to bear in mind. We're not to be good citizens when we get the government we like. See, there's nowhere taught in the Bible. We get the government you like and then be a good citizen. That's ridiculous. There's no Bible for that. We saw that in Proverbs 24, verses 21 and 22. There's a danger of meddling with people that are given over to change. In other words, those who are in open opposition to government. There is a danger in associating yourself with those people. And the scriptures are clear that it is the wicked that are in opposition to civil government. And the person who truly fears God will have nothing to do with them at all. In fact, I remember Operation Rescue, and I'm purposely going to take a moment to talk about that, because Operation Rescue was touted as a Christian organization when the facts were that they would adhere to any group that would believe in what they believe, whether they were Christian or not. And they would do things, frankly speaking, that the Bible would call appalling, and that any believer would want to have nothing to do with it. And they have been a blight on the cause of Christ for many, many years, because nitwitting and unwitting Christians got involved in Operation Rescue. And it didn't fulfill the cause of Christ, because there was rarely any gospel given, because the gospel wasn't the priority. The priority was allegedly rescuing people from doing what their sinful desires want to do. And you could no more legislate that than you can tell people to stop fornicating. Okay, it's ridiculous. I know people are going to get upset, but I'm not concerned about that. The fact is, we need to know what the Bible says, plain and simple. We're going to find out what the Bible says, and have been in our study through the Bible. The wicked are the ones who are involved in in opposition. And then I've heard from all kinds of people who were in Operation Rescue and the fringe groups that spun out of control from that, where they were blowing up abortion clinics and they were using a justification about, well, if we're, I'm a hero and I'm going to be a heroine because I'm going to be seen upon in future generations as a liberator of babies and blah, blah, blah. So you start justifying rebellion and anarchy. The Bible doesn't teach that. See, if you're going to justify your actions, you're going to dismiss what God says. And what God says is very clear. And it's not just Operation Rescue. There are many other groups that are very similar and who adhere to different causes, whether it's reconstructing the Supreme Court or the federal judge system, or whether it's electing of presidents and cabinet leaders and what have you. You don't be obedient to the government you like. You're supposed to obey the government that is. You as an American have the privilege to vote. You have the privilege to express your freedoms. You have the privilege to express your views. You don't have the privilege to stimulate anarchy in our culture. I don't care who you are, who you think you are, or what idiot you're following. You don't have a right to stimulate an environment where you are an anarchist, where you're telling Christians to rebel, where you say the system of government is wrong, and unless we have the one we want, then we're going to just kick against it. Well, you know what? You speak for you. You don't speak for me. Because I've been in this life with various kinds of governments, and I haven't had a problem with them, you know, because God is sovereign, and God is God. So I'm not interested in who's in the government, because whatever God wants for me, I'm going to have it. Whether it's Republican, independent, or Democrat, or whomever, whatever God has given me, whatever God has allowed me to do, it has been with whatever government we have. So you don't get the government you want, you get the government that God gives you. And frankly speaking, even though many so-called evangelicals have the government they want, they're still anarchists. Never seem to be satisfied at anything unless you're living your, you know, perfection here on earth. This is not our home. You don't invest all your eggs in earth's basket, so to speak. And we also saw the fact that resistance against the civil government or any portion of the government is futile, because number one, God's sovereign power is at work in this world, and since that is true, then the powers that are that be are part of God's power at work in that nation to accomplish his will. God's not accomplishing our will. I don't know why people think that God is around to do what we want. Oh, God, give us the government. God ain't, you can go and ask God to give you a government all you want. You better just pray that God will put who he wants in there. We have this notion in America that our country is so pure and pristine and clean and perfect that we are the moral standard to all humanity. I find that repugnant. When the Berlin Wall was torn down, for example, let me go to a better illustration. When Gorbachev became the president of the Soviet Union, or former Soviet Union, you're into that kind of thing. The first thing we brought in to the Soviet Union was false religion and pornography. 700 Club went right, TBN went right in there, and every Twitch that believed in that era went right in there. And then we brought pornography. The floodgates. That's what we bring into a society. Historically, we bring in a lot of perversion to a society. We call it freedom. We have devastated societies, and as much as we don't like to hear it, there are a lot of people that do not like America. And it's not so much because of the goodness of American people, it's because of the corruption that we bring into a society. Anyone who doesn't see that, I think you're living in a fantasy world. When we were in Vietnam, what did we bring in Vietnam? Corruption. Seems like everywhere we listen, I was over in Korea. We brought corruption there. We take a community, we bring in our perversion, and we just wreck the whole infrastructure of that whole society. But no one wants to say anything about it. because we have this foolish notion that we're so pure and pristine and we are the moral example to the world. That is ridiculous. People love living in a fantasy world. And listen, I told you, I'm a patriot. I love this country. But I'm not going to lie for this country. I'm not going to lie for America. I love America. There isn't a country in this world that I would love to live in any more than America. If you've been overseas, any foreign country, and you live there, if you have any sense, you want to come back home. And I did, quick. And when they extended my tour of duty, I was crying because I wanted to be back. I appreciate this country. I love this country. I love the freedoms that it has. I love the ability to speak clearly, speak my mind, speak my heart, speak in behalf of the Lord. But I'm not going to lie for the country. We have a lot of issues and a lot of problems. And those problems begin with, well, frankly, with the whole infrastructure of the country, what we think about ourselves and how we present who we are to this world. And whatever we do, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's noble or ignoble, we just seem to gloss it over and tell the world, well, you ought to be thankful you know us. We go in and wreck an entire country's infrastructure and say, well, you ought to be glad you know us. We support opposition leaders and what have you. Then after the country's ruined and people get killed and riots, then we say, well, you ought to be glad we know us. You know, we had your best interest in mind. We don't like to talk about these kinds. They might label me as a liberal now because I speak the truth about America. I'm not going to lie for this country. Not at all. The sad fact is that the church never wants to talk about the fact that the government that you have is a government that's part of God's plan, not the government that you manipulate. The government that you have is part of God's plan at work to accomplish His divine will. And if we were more interested in God's divine will rather than our own, we would spend less time trying to manipulate the government, which doesn't work. Because you can no more manipulate the government than you can manipulate the God to put in there. Remember, God's divine power is at work. So I don't care what actions man do. And listen, the Supreme Court judges and the federal judges and everybody else you put in, God can make them turn around and do the exact opposite of what you put in there. And that's what happened on many occasions. I can't believe that the Supreme Court voted this way, but you're not in control. We believe if you put the right judges in the right places, then we will get our view. Says who? You're not in control of anything. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Number two, the Bible does not teach civil disobedience, but civil responsibility. And if we're rebellious against what God is doing by being rebellious against government, do you think that God's going to honor that? I don't think He's going to. In fact, I know He's not going to honor it. Where you have a healthy fear of God, you will have a healthy respect to the ruler of the people because God put him there whether you like him or not. God put him there. When Bill Clinton was president, the evangelical church went ballistic. The first 4 years, they hated it. They despised it. Couldn't stand it. And then when Bob Dole ran against them, the Christians said, because Bob Dole doesn't take a firm stand against abortion, we're going to put the man we hate back in the office for 4 more years. You know who did that? God did it, because it made no sense, because Bob Dole didn't agree with your position, which was a lie, that you put the man who you hate that would agree to nothing that you believe. You know that was God. I'm going like, now excuse me, you have a man in office you already hate. This man is running against him. He doesn't agree with one position of yours, and you're going to elect the person who agrees with nothing you believe in? That's God. That's what that is, plain and simple. Number three, resistance to the ruler will bring judgment from both the king and God who put him there, and it's a right judgment. Then we looked at 1 Timothy 2, who basically says the same thing. We need to be praying for kings and all that are in authority. And I guarantee you, where you have rebellion and resistance and anarchy and talks of overthrow, whether through voting or manipulation or money, whatever, people are not praying for that kind of government. They're not praying for government. They're praying on the government. They want that government destroyed. And then we went to 1 Peter 2, which is where we're going to go back tonight. We said no matter what we think about the government we have, if you never spend any time overseas, trust me, Rare is the person I know who's lived overseas that have had the wonderful freedoms they had in America that don't want to come back. I'm not saying that, you know, there are none, but usually these people, you find them on some rock somewhere away from everybody. They have totally escaped reality. They want to live in, you know, Alonesville, population me. That's what they want to do. Okay, that's the exception. But people I've known and myself, if you lived anywhere overseas and you see what you don't have and the privileges you don't have, you want to come back home. I know there are some exceptions, but I'm not talking about the exceptions. I wanted to come back home. I said, first of all, our government is nowhere near, not in the remotest sense of the word, the government that both Paul and Peter wrote about and the church live under. Not even close. They were persecuting and killing saints and arresting saints just for being Christians. Well, do you see that in America? No. It is in other countries in our day and age, but not in America. If we keep being stupid and antagonizing them, it may happen here. Conditions were far worse than we could ever imagine. Number two, no matter what we think of our government, it still does serve many good purposes, whether we think so or not. I never said the government was perfect, but the government is what God established. Number three, believers are given clear, understandable instructions about our relationship to government, and the instruction is to be obeyed. Why? For the sake of the gospel, not for our sake. And that's important. Important distinction to make. Number four, and again, the most difficult truth of all is the fact that God is sovereign and his sovereign power is at work in this world. And the powers that be on earth are a part of God's power at work in every nation to accomplish his divine sovereign will. For not only for that particular nation, but also for the entire world. So, because the powers that be are of God and they who resist the powers are resisting God, and that's what Paul said under a ruler which hated and burned and killed Christians and blamed Christians for the burning of Rome, which the Christians had nothing to do with, but the Christians were easy targets. How many persecutions that we saw in our study? Persecutions of Christians, I think it was 13. No, it was, I think, 12 or 13 mass persecutions against Christians under Roman government. Christians were being blamed for everything. If there was poverty, it was the Christians' fault. If there was anarchy, it was the Christians' fault. If there was immorality, it was the Christians' fault. Everything rested on blaming the Christians because back then, the Christians would not resist. They were an easy scapegoat. And many died horrible deaths. But they never resisted. But no matter how often they were slaughtered and murdered and killed and imprisoned, the Christian church continued to grow. Couldn't stop it. Look at it now, dwindling and diminishing without a drop of persecution. Why? Because persecution was God's plan to cause the church to grow. Then you only had people that were serious about being believers. Resisting the power or setting yourself against the governmental authorities that God established to accomplish his sovereign will is to resist not only the authority of the government, but God who established it, and you will get in trouble by doing that with him, as well as that government. He may use it too. As I said, we have a right to vote. We have the right freedom of expression to a point. You don't get to say what you want to say. You have freedom of speech, but as a believer, the scriptures determine what kind of speech that you are to be free to say. You know, we have these privileges in America, but that doesn't mean I violate God's word and jettison the word of God and say, well, I have a privilege as an American citizen to say what I want. Well, you have the privilege to say what God says you ought to be saying and nothing more or less. So exercise your right to vote. Exercise your right to do whatever it is that you are legally entitled to do. But know this as a believer. God has never told us to revolt at all. Never. And if America revolts, I'm not a part of it. If Americans are revolting against their government, revolting against this and anarchy and everything else, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Why? Because I'm a believer more than I'm an American. I was born here, was raised here, I'm thankful. but I'm born again. I'm born from above, and this is not my home. Now look at verse 13 of 1 Peter 2. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for whose sake? Didn't say anything about your sake, did it? Read it again. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for what?
The Lord's sake.
Whether it be to what?
The King.
As what? As supreme. This is written during a time of persecution. I tell you folks, we just don't understand what's going on here. We don't understand what's going on here. Look at verse 1 of 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners or the strangers, what does it say?
Scattered abroad.
How are they being scattered? Through persecution. So in the midst of persecution, what does Peter tell the believers to do? And this is important, because what Peter says is consistent to what Paul says, is consistent with what everybody else says. So Peter's not going to contradict the same Spirit of God that wrote through Paul. Okay? Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Not yours. Not yours. Subject yourselves to every one of the ordinances or institutions of man. Paul said in Romans 13:1, for believers to submit yourselves to the higher power, meaning the power or rule of government, the powers of him who will and whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Why? So our lives and livelihood could be better? Is that what this is about? Is it all about making my country best for me? I'm so selfish that I'm concerned only with myself, that I'm willing to do anything and everything I can to make the country the way I want it, as if it was mine. I know we sing, this is my country, land of, there's a lot of people living in America singing that same song. It can't be everybody's. Someone's going to be disappointed in this country. Listen, when the inauguration happens, there are going to be a lot of disappointed people. You know what my message is? Get over it. You're not that important. Neither are we. Get over it. It's a wonderful country. Just be quiet. Go to your job, make your dollar and a half, and be quiet. If you don't like your job, get another one. It's not the responsibility of the president to get you a job. Get off your lazy behind and get you a job. Get a job. Get a life. Stop whining about your life. I know you live in an age where you believe you're entitled to everything. You're entitled to nothing. Who told you that? And you call yourself a believer too? You ain't no believer. You're entitled to nothing. You work, get a job, you get a life. You make money, you save it. You spend wisely, you give to God's work. Stop all that whining and crying about your life. You're not that important. Believe me, if your dot went off the scene, very few people would be affected by it for very long. It wouldn't even matter. You don't submit to the higher power so that your lives and livelihood could be better, so that you can make the world a better place. What was the song back in the 60s? Oh, come on. What's the Pepsi song? Come on, you old folk. I love to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, perfect harmony. I like to buy the... No. Look, we done been there already, right? Did it help any? No. There's Coca-Cola all over the world. Has it helped the world? No, thank you. Gonna take more than Coca-Cola or Pepsi or any other cola to get people to do right. And holding hands and wearing polka dotted and flower clothing is not gonna help anybody either. And I heard all that rubbish already. Most of the folks I'm talking to now either have denied that they've been through this or have never been a part of it, so they don't really understand what you just don't get it. If you have a mother or a father that's older than, let's say 40s, 50s. Ask to get their photo album, the real one. They're hiding under the, you know, under the safe, the floor safe. They don't want you to see. Look at how they dressed. You'd probably disown them after that. The only reason explained in Scripture as to why we ought to submit ourselves to the higher power is that we become a proper witness for the Lord. It is for Christ's sake that we are to obey government. It is to give a witness to the watching world that as believers, we are not rebel rousers or troublemakers, but model citizens demonstrating Christ. This is the only reason we are given in this passage to obey the governmental authorities over us. And I like what Paul says. If you do that, you don't have any fear of anything coming against you. I don't fear him. No need to. Obviously, that obedience does not refer to doing that which is sinful, but to obey the laws of the land. Keep in mind, as pilgrims and strangers, we are not of this world. So if the world decides to protest and riot and to attempt overthrows of the government, we as believers are not to align ourselves with such rebellion because we are not of this world. Our citizenship, our politic, as it were, is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what Paul said in Philippians 3:20. Our politic is in heaven. Then Peter lists various authorities that were to be obeyed as model citizens. Number one, the king is supreme, the leader of the people, the prince, the commander, the lord of the land, who is above the people, superior in rank, authority, and power. Obey him. Very clear, very simple, very plain. We are to submit. We are to obey. That's it, for the Lord's sake. Verse 14, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. The word or is translated whether it be. So Peter gets more specific as far as detailing the authorities that the believers were to submit to. The rulers are the governors. This word is a very broad range. It has a very broad range of meanings. It refers to a leader of any kind, a guide, a ruler, prefect, president, chief, general, commander, sovereign, etc. It refers to a legatus Caesarius, who was an officer administering a province in the name and with the authority of the Roman emperor. Also a governor or governors refer to the governor of a province, or a procurator, who was an officer who was attached to a proconsul or a proprietor and had charge of the imperial revenues, the IRS, the treasury. Not only was submission commanded to any of these men in authority, but Peter goes on to say in verse 14, those who are sent, or the representatives of the government, which were sent to do the king's affairs, all right? That in our day, of course, would be called the police, maybe sometimes the military, the National Guard in cases of emergency. If you have done no crime, you should not concern yourself with the police. By nature, they don't usually arrest or harass innocent people. It's not a perfect force. You know, there have been instances, sad to say, where they went to the wrong house and killed the wrong people. I'm not talking about these things that happened. Remember, we got our house, bang, 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 bang. Like, who in the world is this? And they were police officers. Now, thankfully, I have the Holy Spirit, and I answered the door, kind of, who are you and why are you banging on my windows with a flashlight at 5:30 in the morning? Does Raul so-and-so live here? Do I look like a Raul so-and-so to you? Look at me. Are you sure he doesn't live here? Yes, I'm sure whoever this man is doesn't live here. Okay? This is the address he gave. He don't live here, okay? He don't live here. Now, see, I already knew. It's 12192. I didn't even have to ask him. It's the complex that's on the other side, because all the time we get I was getting a whole slew of packages from Sears. Like 3 or 4 days where I kept getting packages to the same address and it was the same part. I guess this person kept saying, we didn't get the parts, they sent out another one. And it kept coming here. And we got a package and it was the same one, and it was like four of them. So I waited for the door, and when I heard him drop up, I ran, hey, get back here. I said, did you bother to look at the address that's right there on the marquee when you come in here? This package is not, this is way over there. Are you watching the address? So the point is that people who can't read or whatever, they make mistakes. And sometimes they come over to, it's a good thing they didn't say that our house was a crack house. They might've kicked the door and shot me or something. They make stupid mistakes, and sometimes people have to suffer. So, you know, if the inconvenience of getting me up at 5:30 in the morning was the worst that could happen, I said, okay. Maybe I'd just put a sign on the door. No crack dealers, Americans live here. Maybe that will keep people, I don't know. But those that Peter said, the role of government was to punish evildoers. That's to bring vengeance or justice to those who are doers of evil or malefactors or troublemakers or those who resist the government. That's the role of government, this particular part of government. It is to enact punishment. It's not to turn the jail and the jail system into Job Corps. It's to punish evildoers. It's what they did back then, and you had very little crime, very little of it. Now we think that rehabbing everyone is the key. No, it's not. How can you say that being a Christian? Because it's in the Bible. That's how I can say it as a Christian. If you bothered reading it, instead of misquoting it, you would see what God says. Also, to praise them that do well. Government is to compliment those who are acting right or living virtuously. As believers, we are to live that way before watching world. Same organization, boom, 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 with a flashlight up against the window again. This time it was at night. Just got finished rip-roaring and running to town and wanted to sit and eat my chicken wings. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, good golly, Miss Molly. So I ignored it. Then next thing I know, do you know your neighbor? Went through the whole scenario with helping. And, oh, thank you so much. You know, you've been a great help. So the same government that wakes you up at 5:30 in the morning because they can't read the address and see the Howards live here is the same government that will compliment you when you do well. So I don't have any fear about the government doing anything against me. I'm not afraid of the police. I have no reason to be. I don't drive 120 miles an hour professing to be a Christian. I don't do stupid things. I don't take drugs in the name of the Lord. I don't steal money in the name of Christ. I don't like one man and work for a savings loan company and embezzle, you know, five figures of money claiming to be a Christian. And now he's a preacher. This is how stupid the church is. Government praises those who do well, which is what Paul said in Romans 13, verses 3 through 7. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? You should. That's the point. Then do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Do what is right. And the same government that will enact vengeance upon those who are evil will speak well of you. For he being the one who enacts power, is the minister of God, of thee to good, or to thee for good. That's not the preacher. I've heard this thing misquoted a bit. Learn a lesson, youngsters. Learn a lesson, young preachers. Context means something. He is the minister of God. But if thou doest that which is evil, be afraid. He bared not the sword in vain. The sword is the word. No, 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 no. My. Who is the he? That's the question. Who is the he? The he are the rulers and those who represent him. He is the minister of God. The ruler who brings the hammer down on evildoers, that's the minister of God. That's what God says. If you're doing wrong and the hammer of God comes to your house, don't call me. You deserve what you got. Okay, don't be bothered. Don't call me for no cat. What did he do? The first thing, let me speak to the officer. What did he do? He did this. Arrest him. You have evidence? Arrest him or her right now and hang up the phone. You better make that 35 cent, however much it costs now to make a call, but make that one call to somebody else. You better call the Lord first. Listen, I believe in the penal system. So if you ever go to jail and you deserve it, don't call me. I'm not bailing anybody out of jail. Call your mama. Call your husband or wife. Call a stranger. Call Billy Bob Bales Bonds or somebody, but don't call me because I'm hanging up the phone. I believe in the penal system. I believe don't do the crime, you can't do the time. If you do the crime, you deserve to go to jail. I don't care if you're a so-called Christian, go. You need to go even more. You need to lock up a lot of these so-called Christians. Let them learn something in jail. And that doesn't mean that God led you there to start a prison ministry. Like I heard one man said, man got arrested, was sent to San Quentin. Said the Lord sent him there to start a prison ministry. That's a line, he knew it too. He is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou, listen, if someone's trying to get in your house and you better call 911, call GOD first and 911 after, and you better hope that the police are very close to your house. And if you don't have a gun or a bat or a knife or something, a kung fu or whatever, and you can't take care of him before he get here, the cop gets there. And listen, you better be thankful. He says, free you. This is so-and-so police department. And the man don't freeze. Bow! End of discussion. He did you a favor. He was the minister of God to thee for good. But if you're the one trying to break through the house, okay, if your feet is dangling out there like this, out of the window, okay, well, be afraid. Now it says that he beareth not the sword in vain. Now, what does the sword represent? Come on, geniuses, this is easy. Death! You don't bring the sword to spank somebody, you bring him to kill somebody. This is serious. For he is a minister of God. Hello, again, a revenger to execute wrath on him that doeth evil? Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Listen, you be subject to the laws of the land, not only because you can get dead because of it, but for conscience. For this reason, pay ye taxes also. Tribute isn't, I like to give a nice verbal tribute to my police department. Oh, no. You better pay them taxes. That's how they become a minister of God for you or to you for good. Your taxes pay for the existence of the police department and the National Guard, everything else that comes to protect you behind when folks act insane. You don't say, I just like to give my verbal tribute and thanks and wonderment for the wonderful job the police officers do. Do that and pay your taxes. And if you had a choice, do one or the other, pay your taxes. How many times does God have to say this before we understand what he's saying? For this cause, pay ye taxes also, for they are God's ministers. That's the third time he said that. Attending continually upon this very thing, continuing to watch us and watch out for us. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes is due, tribute is taxes, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. It's due them because of the position they hold. It's due them. Respect the government, respect the police department, because one day you'll need them. Listen, it's going to be rare that you live in this life and you'll have no need for the police or these other agencies. I mean, it's you would rather live in a life where you never have to deal with them, but the chances are you will. You will. I respect government. I don't always like what it does, but I respect it. I don't advocate anarchy. I might tell you who I think you ought to vote for, but it's your choice. You know, I'm not living in this fantasy world where I just blind myself to what government is doing. But I respect government because God put government there. And you won't find my name on anybody's blotter as a rebel. You ought to protest. I don't protest against anything. The last thing Harley Howard needs is a police record. The last thing. I don't have one. I never had one. And I don't plan to have one because you want to have one. You know, if you feel led, I'm saying this with tongue in cheek, if you feel led to protest, knock yourself out. Of course, I'm saying it facetiously. If you've heard all this, you think you have a right to protest, you need to be saved. Because there's no way in the world you can say, I don't care what that says. I don't care what he better be God. This is what God says. Protesting is wrong. It's wicked people that do it. I'm a Christian. Well, you're a wicked Christian. How about that? There ain't no such thing as a wicked Christian. That's why I said it. We need to be obedient, not only because our conscience knows that it's the right thing to do, but also because of the wrath of God through government enacted on me if I'm a lawbreaker. Okay? As I said when I taught Romans, I don't expect the governing authorities to come and put me in jail if I'm a law-abiding citizen. I do expect the law to enact judgment if I possess drugs, beat my wife and family, drive like I have no sense, revolt against the system, refuse to pay the U.S. Treasury. Now, the IRS now called the United States Treasury, but it's the same organization. If I'm a violator of the laws of the land and I do pay my taxes, and you should too. Let's make sure we have that understanding. And when the light says red, it doesn't mean the guy behind you. It's not telling everybody else to stop while you go. Just remember that little box up there, little gray box. Takes very nice pictures. I don't have any of that. And I'm not making it my business to have smile. You're on candid camera. I don't want that in my life. I'm not going to have that, okay? You just drive like you have some sense. You have to worry about it. You pay your taxes, obey the government. You're not going to find me saying kill the government. This isn't the anarchist program. You're not going to find me doing any of that stuff. So if you think because he speaks boldly, I'm not going to with you, okay? I don't agree with you. I agree with what God says. You obey the law, you don't have to worry about have anything happening against you that's wrong, because God is sovereign. God's in control of all that. If I'm a violator of the laws of the land and the governing authorities, which include the police, who are the enforcers of the law, are sent by God to do his bidding to stop evil and evildoers. You may not like the police, you know, throwing you up against your car if you did something worthy of being thrown up against the car. But as the police with guns drawn are telling you to put your hands up, remember, just tell yourself they're all ministers of God. They're not reverends, but this is the time to reverend them. Okay, when they say, put one hand behind your back, all right, and you feel those cold, icy, how do you know about, I never had it. I never had it happen to me. You don't have to hit me in the head with a 2x4, no, it hurts. I don't have to feel the icy cold clamp of a handcuff to know an icy cold clamp of a handcuff. I don't want to. They say, put the other hand back, put the hand back like that, and they, and you just, you know, and you, and they march you on real slow, and you all bent over because the handcuffs, you know, you, and then they put the hand on your head, and they put you, and they tell you, watch your head, and they put you there. You sure sound like you know something about it? Nope. Nope. I've seen it a lot of times, but I don't have to experience it to know it. The very sight of it is an incentive. I don't have to be like that. He didn't do it right. That's why he got caught. No, I don't want to be like that. Because of Christ's sake. Could you imagine the embarrassment I'd have to embarrass my whole family? Could you imagine the one to having to come to prison and bail me out of jail? No. See? Can't even picture that. It ain't worth it. Folks, we got to think. We got to think beyond ourselves. You can kiss the testimony of this church goodbye if I go to jail. Pastor did what? Oh, man. Uh-uh. You ain't going to never read that about me. I might read about you, but you ain't going to read that about me. There's too much to lose by being stupid. It ain't worth being stupid. They ain't going to no jail. I visited every brother I had in jail. I sure don't plan to follow their example. All of them. Except Junior. All of them are in jail. You going to go? I said, I'm going to go visit you. And I fulfilled my promise. Mm-hmm. Pick up the phone. What's up? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you getting out? Blah, 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 blah. See ya. Click up. Mom, take me home. Dad, get me out of here. I don't even like the smell of jail. I don't even like to be around it. Get me out of here. Mm-hmm. Join the army. If you're going to be stupid, join the army. Join something. Join the military to put some sense in your head. But don't go to jail. An army ain't no jail. It's a wonderful place to be. Clear teaching of Scripture. So don't revolt. Don't get caught up with these guys. Well, you see, according to the blah, 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 the dollar is not a real, you know, treasury note. You ain't got to pay no taxes. I'm telling you right now, you're going to jail. You're going to pay taxes for the rest of your breathing life. You follow these scammers, these tax scammers. You itemize and you deduct legally whatever is yours. There's nothing wrong with it. The law allows you to do it. But don't follow all these guys with an eagle flag and a pea brain telling you you don't have to pay your taxes. That, you know, the government is smart. They let you do it for about 5 years because they know that the interest is going to keep you bound to them until Jesus comes. And unless he comes tomorrow, you know, they're going to get over. We got a relative, right? He's going to be paying taxes forever because you don't do stupid stuff like that. Unless I think he might have had to pay him off or whatever, probably. But what he told me, oh, he ain't going to pay them off in no time. The government might show you some mercy. Go, you know, you've been in bondage for like 15 years. Here's the payoff. Can you pay it? They're going to get their money. It don't make sense to put yourself in a position where government has to come against you. And then he says in verse 15 of Romans 13, I think, let me make sure I got the right passage here. I might be wrong. Now I want to make sure I got it right. Okay, no, 15 of 1 Peter 2. I didn't make that notation for myself. Then I'm already finished time-wise. Well, I got about 2 seconds. 12 minutes? Okay. So he says in verse 14, unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing, with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What did Paul tell the Cretans to do? Just, I tell you, God is good. In Titus, you stay there. Titus 3, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Same thing Peter said to his own, the same thing his own folk. He says, by well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. No scripture properly interpreted would ever allow the kinds of rebellion and revolt that many professing believers are involved in today. None. No scripture could ever be used by anyone to revolt against the government. No scripture could ever be used by anyone to deny the punishment of believers by government when we violate the law. It is clearly the will of God that with well-doing, with doing what is right and beneficial to those around you who are lost yet watching, that we will silence, meaning put a muzzle on the critics' mouths, the mouths that are attached to the lack of intelligence of senseless and stupid people. Do not give people an opportunity to blaspheme God because of our actions. When you say you're a Christian, do not let them throw up in your face, well, I know so-and-so. Listen, you stop missing. I am not so-and-so. I am who I am. You judge my Christianity based upon how I live. I don't care what so-and-so did or professed to do. And by the way, are you saved? You watch the wind come out of them sails real quick when you hit them like that. But they got a right to criticize us because we're supposed to be living above them. We proclaim our gospel saved us and gives us strength and power. We pray to the Lord. We know him and we live by his spirit. Why are we living like this guy then? Why are we living like the critic who has every right to question what we're doing and what we profess? Be they lacking intelligence and senseless. No matter where these souls are, we as believers are to be model citizens by abstaining from lust that drives and motivates the lost, and also to be model citizens in a society where rebellion against the government was always being stirred up, and nothing is different here. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You see all of this umbrella right here. Same thing with Titus. Titus tells the Cretans, do not be rebellious, do not fight, do good. Peter says the same thing to these scattered saints, the same thing. Be servants of God, live free, not bound by restraints. Live with the power of God to do that willingly, which the world cannot do at all. That's to live free in God's power. Abstain from lust and be model citizens to a lost, watching world. Freedom does not mean license to do evil. We are to be free and live as such, but we are not to use our freedom as a covering or a veil or pretext to do what is wrong. And the context has to do with revolting against the government, which is what he concludes in verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You can't separate verse 16 from 17. The good doing is doing good to government because you have the freedom and the liberty to do it. You have the power to do it, and no one else has. Liberty and freedom in Christ does not give any believer the right to live in wickedness, not being ashamed to or not being ashamed to break laws. True liberty is living not as we please, but as that which pleases God, as his slaves. So have value towards all men. Be fond of and love dearly the family of God, the brothers in Christ. Be terrified at God and esteem the king. Same word as in verse 13. The immediate context is government. We are to honor government, especially when it does that which is right. Our fear of God will keep us in the place of submission towards government. Now with the, 6 minutes I have left? Close. Let's go back to Titus 3. We will do verse 2 and maybe delve into verse 3 a little bit. Either I'm talking too fast or time is moving. I'm moving real quick tonight. It's rare. So I think the time is a lot faster than what it is. To speak evil of no man, verse 2, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is the very same thing that Paul said in 1 Timothy 3. With this exception, he adds that the person who exercises moderation is meek and demonstrates that meekness to all men. Again, the all has to do with the context of government. Do not remove this from the context of the passage. Do not do that. The all men must be the all men related to verse 1, not you or I. The Cretans were no longer to be rebellious against the governing authorities by way of their actions and speech, but they were to be the best citizens that they could be so that the Lord and his word was not spoken against. Paul also gave another important reason why the Cretans were to be radically different than they used to be, and that begins in verse 3. And this is important because the word for in verse 3 is a transition from verses 1 and 2. He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Typical American. Typical rebellion in any age, you find all these characteristics. What's the point? What's the point? Paul says, do good, don't speak evil of your government in particular, be meek towards all men, in other words, submit to the government, because we all were in time past, and all this is a description of the rebel. All this, and then some, is a description of the rebel, the lost man. He says, we ourselves also were sometime, in times past. These are all descriptions of the rebel. Number one, foolish. It's the behavior of the lost. Foolish means the unintelligent and the unwise. He's describing behavior that was past, that was pre-converted. This is the behavior of those in Crete who currently were not saved, who were rebelling against the government. Number two, disobedient. The impersuadable and the non-compliant. Next, deceive, meaning the seduced and the wayward. Next, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. This is very interesting. Involuntarily or voluntarily, a slave to and in bondage to all kinds of sins, more specifically, various ungodly and forbidden cravings as well as sensual delights. Whether you meant to do it or whether you didn't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the life of the lost. The rebellion against the Roman authorities and authority in general had nothing to do with injustice. Now, you better hear this carefully. Had nothing to do with injustice as much as it had to do with indulgence. Because the same truth is today, subtly, but it's true today. And I'll say it again. The rebellion against the Roman authorities and authority in general had nothing to do with injustice as much as it had to do with indulgence. People rebelled against the government and laws that they deemed restrictive to their so-called rights. But in actuality, their rebellion against government was so that they could further indulge in their uncontrollable passions. And we are living and watching it in our own society today. This behavior is the actions of the lost. And Paul was clear that this was the real issue. Civil liberties was not the picture here, but civil unrest. And that the government was responsible to allow me to indulge in all of the so-called freedoms, which were nothing but an indulgence in bondages. We think government exists so that they can set up scenarios where I can live any way I want to. I grew up in the late 50s, early 60s, where there was some semblance of real loyalty to the country, where people really had some care. Mid-60s, it was all flushed, going downhill all the way. Now with whole races of people thinking they're entitled to something because they are alive, we have given birth to rises of millions of people who expect government to give them everything for nothing, just for being here. So work is rejected and spurned and looked upon with derision. Why should I go to work when government give me more money than I did if I go to work? So now the taxpayer, the hard worker, has to work to keep a woman with 18 children home so that she could, you know, keep on having more children, keep on getting that welfare butter and them checks and food stamps. Where do you think the money's coming from? China? It's coming from your taxes. Why? Because we raise an environment of people that believe that they are entitled. That's where the word entitlement comes in. You never heard a word 20 years ago. It's everywhere now. Everyone is entitlement. People are winning elections fraudulently, promising whole races that they will give you whatever you want. They believe that government, and that's what happened to Rome. You had certain Roman rulers who sided with this huge mass of dissent and decided they were going to be those rulers of the people. And so what they did was they gave them free land and free food. And what do you think happened when you give them free land and free food? They want more free land and free food. It ain't gonna work. And so the government of Rome killed those who caused the unrest and then cracked down the people who were lazy. Do that in America. Watch what happens to America. You burn this country to the ground. So the government, being what it is today in our country, scared, frightened to do law, to enforce, enact judgment, they let people do what they want to do. To the degree where, well, we can't shut our borders now. There are just too many illegals in the country. We can't stop welfare now. Just too many mouths need to be fed. So we let this stuff go on for so long until there's this huge tidal wave. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. So now we have to feed the monster to keep the monster going. And anybody that decides they want to kick against the monster, like this is senseless, because they're going to bankrupt this country. They're looked upon with derision, with scorn. They're made fun of and blah, blah, blah. And some of the government rulers are so scared to say anything, they'll agree. But the fact of the matter is, as I said before, civil liberties was not the picture. Civil unrest is the picture. And all these freedoms were nothing but indulgences and bondage. Civil disobedience is therefore the behavior of the lost man, not the saint. I'm going to say it again in closing. I want to make it so clear, so many times, that we do not have any misunderstandings. The idea that Christianity has no open and verifiable proof seen in specific deeds, both in and out of the church, is completely ridiculous. And notice again that the responsibility for believers to demonstrate the reality of their faith is in the areas of church and civic responsibility. Nowhere in the Bible is the false doctrine of civil disobedience taught to the believer. Quite the contrary, the Bible is absolutely clear in both testaments that worshipers of God are to be the most model citizens in any society. And any teaching and anyone that teaches contrary to this truth is a false teacher. The Bible nowhere teaches that Christians are to be the rebels of a society, but the best citizens, even under slavery or rulers and slave masters who were cruel. That's where the instruction was given during these time periods. You need to understand the history of what this stuff was written. I told you, look at 1 Peter 1:1, the strangers scattered abroad, people being persecuted. And Peter says in the second chapter, submit. Didn't say fight, didn't say resist, didn't say raise the ruckus, raise the roof, none of that. Paul didn't say free at last, thank God Almighty we free. He didn't go there. He said be the best citizen so as not to bring evil upon the reputation of Christianity. And that's the key. Reputation of God and his gospel are to be the motivator, the only motivator for the believer. Under situations and circumstances that were infinitely worse than you and I could ever dream of being in, the instructions were crystal clear. Don't act like you did in your lost state, rebelling and blaspheming. And next time we're going to go back to the second verse, or third verse rather, and finish the rest of these behaviors, these manifestations of these characteristics of lost people. Let's pray. Father, again, your word is so clear as to our role towards government at every level. Lord, we have to submit to the government. We as Americans are not to allow our freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of whatever, freedom of expression, to be a violation of Scripture, which trumps American freedom of expression and freedom of speech. That we are to have our speech to be colored by Christ and not by this country and its laws, Lord. We ought to have freedom to speak the truth, and we ought to have freedom to speak the gospel. That would be a greater freedom than my own personal alleged civil rights. And if we do that which is good, we will have blessing of the same, and that blessing will come by your hand as it has always come, no matter who is in charge of the government. Lord, thank you again for this day, and I pray that we would lay these things to heart in life. Please bless the giving and the bread and cup. In Jesus' name, amen.